She makes it seem like I talk shit about DC all the time. That never happened.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Only behind your back, bro. That's the way to do it.
I know. That's why I said I'm pretty sure he does.
We gotta stick together in DC.
Why? All the black people going against the white guy in the show? Is that what's happening?
No, it's just that you're the one white guy on the show with two colored people on the show.
You basically just said what he said.
Yeah, you said exactly what I said.
I said it more grammatically correct. I said it. I said it more friendly to our viewers because we're not trying to lose fans like the last.
They're using the white guy on the show, and then I counter use them because now I could be like, oh well, I have black friends, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah I do. He's like,
I'm not racist. I have black friends.
Solid co-host.
I could use that excuse. You know what I mean?
At any time. And then you got a Spanish one too. You could throw that in there.
Got a couple.
I got a lot of friends. Miguel's in there.
A very wide variety of friends. Edison is racist. The most racist, non-racist person I know.
The most racist, non-racist person I know.
That's a fact. That's the best way to say it. That's the best way. I literally told him today, I said, you're a walking oxymoron. Like,
but how? Okay, do you feel white as an Albanian?
As an Albanian, I don't feel American white. Question. I mean, clearly, I'm white.
Right. I'm white, but I'm Mexican. I don't feel American white. I don't feel like what people say.
I can't associate myself with, like, American white. That's completely different to me.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know how. And also, Albanians already all across Europe are doing, you know, the selling the drugs, all the illegal shit, like, they run in every country. Yeah. So it's like, that, you know, if someone German meets me and I'm like, oh, I'm Albanian, they're like, ooh, my drug dealer is Albanian. Like, oh, well, thanks, bro.
Yeah. You
know,
oh, like, man.
You know.
So you guys are like the black people of the white community.
I guess so.
that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, in a sense, I guess. In a lot of countries, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a lot of countries, that's how it works.
Wow. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a different association because there's like more culture, like there's a different family values that we have that I feel like certain American households don't have. I don't want to say all, you know, there is family values across America.
Albanian culture, like even like your food and stuff like that. And when we were like eating, like we had an episode where we like sat down and ate together as a nice little family. And Edison played a nice little trick on us. But it still had that same like Sunday morning feel. Like when he was like, all right, guys, like here's the food. And he cooked everything. Yeah. You know? Him and his girl cooked everything.
That shit was
so
good.
I cooked everything. She made the salad, all right?
The salad was the best part.
But it's crazy, though. You see how he finesses, though, bro? Yeah. He cooked this dinner. And then try to play a trick on us, bro. That's so funny.
He did play a trick on us.
You didn't see the clip when I was barking.
You gotta go watch
the
episode.
That was a good one.
I did see that. That was fucked up. What'd he do to you?
So much shit.
But you've seen him before.
Yeah, but he was wilding, though. Like, he was
mad. He came in with like a security guard.
Yeah. Oh.
He was checking his beer. Like, we would give him a beer.
I wasn't arguing.
Security guard would check the beer, like, look into it.
And then
twirl it around and then give it to him, you know?
Yeah.
Was this the Albanian?
Yeah, yeah. So I brought him back for a second time.
I wasn't arguing with him, though. I was arguing with the security guard.
Yeah. Oh, wow. They were about to, like, really, like,
no, but
fight
then the worst part, though, is that they were speaking in Albanian, like, that's what made it like extra because me and DC looked at each other and I was like, I don't know what the fuck they're saying. Like, and DC's like, oh no, but he started punching in numbers and digits.
Yeah, well, like, you and Miguel should have started speaking in Spanish.
Oh, Miguel was here for that one. But
do they look at you funny when you speak Spanish?
What's up?
Do they look at you funny when you speak
Spanish?
Yeah,
they do. I get the.
What the fuck?
I get that head turn immediately.
I would have never known you were Hispanic.
You don't look Mexican.
I would never know. If you would have never said, yo, from Mexico, I would have never known.
How about when you tell them that you're Mexican and they're like, what? Like, of all Latino cultures, like, Mexican, like, what?
Yeah, no, I get a lot of, like, when they hear my Spanish, they're like, oh, you're Colombian, right?
I can see everyone thinks I'm Colombian.
Spain. When they see me, the thing is that from Spain, you hear the accent.
The accent, yeah.
Good. You know, you hear it right away.
Barcelona. Yeah.
And your pants aren't that tight.
Exactly. I'm not so fashion forward.
That's so true. Oh, man.
Mexicans and Colombians, for the most part, we tend to have the most neutral accents. Okay. Not all Mexicans. You got the norteños, you know, that like that. Sure. But for the most part, from like, and the majority Colombian and Mexican is very neutral, so it could be confused for each other.
All right, everybody, let me just stop that right there. That was a little bit of a pre-show.
Hey, we just cut my man off.
Yeah, because hold on, because this was supposed to be.
Yo, this nigga's so rude.
It was supposed to. Yeah, I didn't do an intro.
He didn't get his shine. He didn't get his shine.
Well, hey guys. That's enough for that.
He wasn't prepared for us to go on a rant like that. He thought he was gonna come.
Listen,
in.
Listen, this was mic check. This was mic check. This was mic check. It wasn't even the show. All right, it's not my fault. Everybody wants to have conversations. Ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that was a nice little pre-show. You're gonna be tuned in to the interview with ESPN's Alfredo Lomelí. Did I say that right?
Yeah, ooh. It's a Lomelí.
Lomelí.
Lomelí, but right. That was good, bro.
Lomelí. Alfredo Lomelí. Yeah, we got DC in the building. We got Miggy P. He's back. He hasn't been back in a while, so you'll get that comedic twist. I told him, come with jokes or else.
Come with no pressure.
He checked and, his pockets when he walked through the door.
And the one and only Queen of Critics is in the building.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
So, I heard why they call you that. I heard why they call you Queen of Critics.
But all right, everybody, we'll be back shortly and enjoy the episode.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Questionable Behavior Podcast. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also, give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe on anywhere that you can listen to podcasts. And anywhere that has stars, give us stars. And with us today. and with us today, we got DC in the building. Say what up.
What's going on, people? How y'all doing?
And we got the lovely Queen of Critics, Jasmine Lee. Say what up.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
And Miggy P making a comeback for this episode. Say what up, Miguel.
Hello, everybody. It's been a while. Nice to see you.
Miguel, we're going to need those levels up a little bit, all right? Be a little more energetic.
It's been a while.
It's his first time back, y'all. It's his first time back. Give him some time. He's got to change his voice up. Put on your Batman. Go ahead.
I missed the whole season. I'm back for one episode. So just consider it like my one-day contract.
He made it. Actually, he's...
I got a one-day contract and I was on time.
He's he debuted season 3 and now season 4. So, all right. You're making some... You know what I mean? You were on the debut season 3 episode and debut season 4 episode.
Maybe it's a tradition. Yeah. We'll consider it a tradition.
Yeah. Season 5, episode 1. Hope you're back.
This is a perfect timing for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the guest?
We'll see. Hold on, bro. We're still on. Oh. All right. Yeah. All right.
Is this first
and
time?
The guest. and the guest of the show. We got Alfredo Lomelí.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I put a little.
What's up, yo?
I was going to use the same joke as last week. I'm not going to do it again. Say what's up, man. What's going on?
Well, what's going on, guys? That initial pause that you just did, like my hosting instinct wanted to kick in and just like fucking jump in. I'm like, nah. Know your role. This is it. Let the co-host handle it.
You got on the clock.
So, Alfredo, you are currently an anchor at ESPN.
Yep.
So congrats for that.
Thanks, bro.
You wanted to pop the gun. We don't have a gun for that. So congrats for I guess that's a huge move in your career, right? We're gonna pop the first
hell
pop.
Yeah. I didn't expect that, man.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Man, we got confetti in here. It's a party. That's how we do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you know, we only have one popper per budget per episode, so that was it.
Don't expect any more for cool. the rest of
unless something like crazy happens, then we'll budget a second one in. All right.
I love the popper.
So anyway, first off, how was sports like anchoring something that you always wanted to do, or did you try? Did you kind of just happen to fall?
Yeah,
into
did you
it?
Like walk around with like a microphone when you were a kid?
No,
just interview people.
No, I wish I.
You wish you were that dedicated.
I wish I was that dedicated. No, I've always wanted to host, always. But the sports anchoring really was an opportunity that came up at a moment when I was really looking for growth and challenge. And I love sports, but it just never dawned on me that I could work at ESPN, you know? Mm-hmm. So when the opportunity came up, I jumped on it. And the producer literally said, she liked my work. I worked for a couple of years with Univision down in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which you worked on an Emmy winning show, right?
Yeah, it was a show called Tu Estilo that we produced out of San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And it was for all of South Texas. We were talking about with Jasmine earlier about, about South by Southwest. So I used to cover a lot of events like that, like South by Southwest. We used to travel to Sundance Film Festival. Go to a lot of celebrity interviews, stuff like that, and a lot of really important stuff too with the community in San Antonio, Texas, which is where the Lone Star Emmys came in. You know, you got the big old national Emmys, and then you got the Emmys that they deliver to programs that aren't nationwide and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout the course of its run, we won a couple Lone Star Emmys, which was cool. Awesome people down there, dude. Just professionals, and I learned so much from them.
How old were you when you were doing that? Like, was that like 21? Right,
no, it wasn't right out of college. It was a couple of years later. Because I didn't even get to finish college. I was studying radio, television, and film when I started getting my opportunities in television with Univision. And the school, ironically enough, wasn't down with me missing school for what I'm studying to actually go get the real life experience.
Wow.
So I made a choice. Look, it was San Antonio Community College. And I'm not going to say anything bad about them because they're a great school.
Yeah.
And the facilities they're working with there, they have top of the line television studios, radio studios. It was amazing experience. Yeah. But when it came down, there were a couple of professors within that department that showed animosity. Showed animosity about what I was doing. Me even went as far as to one of them like called me out in class. He called me out in class. He's like, we don't call it filming anymore. Where's the film? You are taping or recording. I'm like,
wow,
there's no more tape either now. So what the fuck? Like everything's digital. Like chill the fuck out.
Wow, way to pick on the details, guys. Yeah.
So no, it was a great experience because of the school is amazing. But I got an opportunity to do what I wanted to do, so I jumped on it.
I feel like when you're like dealing with a community college or any type of college and you're like going for like a bigger dream, they're always going to push you to kind of like stay grounded in a way and be like, oh no, but you need to stay like motivated and focus on this and really complete this first and then go do that. But I think it's all up to the kind of person that you are, you know, not every person can handle what you did. You know what I mean? As far as like leaving school and going and everything like that, you know,
I just feel like every one of my friends talks about you apply for a job.
Yeah.
And it says minimum 5 years experience to get this job.
Like, how the fuck am I going to do
that? How are you going to get experience?
Yeah, gives definitely. You
experience. Like,
somebody got to take a chance.
Exactly. Bro. You know what I mean? And then it makes no sense. So the fact that I got that chance, it was like, I can always come back to school, but I'm not always going to get a chance to host a show on Univision. So to answer your question before I went off on my stupid tangent.
Nothing's ever stupid on here.
It came up because of that stuff I was doing for Univision because of a short film I did that an ESPN producer saw, and she put the pieces together that I was also a host, and she was like, you like sports? I was like, yep. And that was it. Like, I went, did the audition, and I've been there for 6 years now.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's crazy.
It was fucking crazy the way it happened.
Yeah. You took a chance and went for it.
So when you're producing like an Emmy winning show, first of all, how is that like process with the Emmys? Is it like an application you fill out and apply to win one?
Anyone can submit their work for an Emmy. Anyone, which is one of the really great things about people that, you know, to me, honestly, awards are not what I look for with career fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's does. Nice,
but you got those right out the gate, though.
That was crazy. That wasn't just me. That was like a team of editors and producers. I was the face of a couple of those segments myself. So that made it very special. Like, oh shit! Like, you know, we're winning awards. I can't be that horrible. You know,
You won like three Emmys, right?
It was just a couple. Yeah. While I was there, three. Mm-hmm. After I left, the show kept going, and it won two more, I believe. So
that's amazing.
Very nice.
It was an exceptional way to like just get to learn about professionalism. You guys, I'm sitting here. You guys are doing a podcast, and you're putting in the dedication, and the numbers are showing, and you guys are already doing a bunch of cool stuff. It's like that's the type of people you want to be around with, and I was lucky enough to be around those type of people that showed me that because I was kind of a slacker. I feel you, bro. I was kind of a slacker. I really feel like it was just being like, yeah, guys, let's go. Yeah, you know, hyping up type of shit. And there's a beautiful art to actually listening more than anything to the people you're talking to. And that was a game changer. And so the fact that I did love sports, it was just like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh,
like,
so when ESPN came out.
Yeah,
like, oh,
yeah, man. It was, I've always watched it. It's the only thing that I have on ever in house. It's, if it's not Netflix, it's ESPN, like nothing else. So it really was something that...
You're like a walking plug for the company, huh?
No, no. I just needed to be known that it's not just the fact that, like, oh, it's a big opportunity. It's like it's an opportunity right for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that missed call for the Rams?
It was fucking horrible, man. It was horrible. I'm glad all the Saints fans are putting up their billboards on the side of the highway and suing the NFL. They want their rematch, and I think they should get it.
Nah, they should get a rematch.
They should.
Yeah, that was... That was crazy. Remember when it happens?
How does the entire world?
We were saying, we're like, all right, if the Saints lose, this is what everybody's going to talk about. Because literally, the guy just hit him.
The entire world saw that.
Yeah,
no call.
That was
you know.
You should be able to challenge that.
The thing about it,
you should be able to challenge that.
A lot of people didn't see the ref tell the other ref to don't throw the flag. He ran over to him like, don't throw the fucking flag. Nobody seen that?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, bro, because he was about to throw the flag. It's crazy.
I want to see something.
Throwing the flag.
Look, they're not going to get a rematch. But it does really suck when you think about why our sports, just personal, quick little sports sake, like, let technology be more of a thing. You get technology, you get to actually play a fair game. People don't want that.
The money doesn't want that.
The money doesn't want that.
I bet on this shit every on a weekend.
And it is. More,
I know that money doesn't want that.
Dude,
shit.
And honestly, it's more dramatic that way, which is cool. Like this, the Rams are going to the Super Bowl. Great for them, but it's because of a missed call.
Yeah,
you know, that's honestly, dramatic. People like that too.
I'd rather have the right team win, though.
That's a terrible way to go to the Super Bowl, though.
You're a sports purist, and I'm with you. I want to see. I want to see what's fair. I want to see.
I just
like,
want
to
see the right team
dedicating their entire lives.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you win like that, you should not want to win like that. Like I wouldn't want to win like that.
No.
You wouldn't want to win like that?
Nah.
Here's the thing, though.
No, but if you're going, you're going.
I'm not against cheating. Don't get me wrong. Like, don't get me wrong. If it's
I'm not against cheating. Listen, don't get me wrong.
If the game was on the line, I'd be grabbing jerseys. You know, playing. I'm not against playing dirty. But that shit was like blatant.
Yeah, and tackle my
you know what's crazy?
So you're like a LeBron James kind of dirty.
I didn't watch the game, but I heard about it. So when I heard about it, I thought it was like an off the ball type of play. No. And then I saw that they threw the ball at him and he pushed him like way before he could. I'm like, damn, that's obvious. I don't even watch football, but that shit was like terrible.
Yeah.
It was insane. It was insane.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, but a lot of people, you know, you bet. First of all, when you're betting, that's when you kind of start realizing, like, hold up.
My brother take the charges.
Hold up. This doesn't make any sense. There was a game where they had, like, a 48-yard field goal, and they were up 2 points. I forget which team it was. It was up 2 points. You kick a field goal. You're up 5. You're good. Now, the spread was 3 points. Mm. On betting, the spread was 3 points. It was, like, 40 seconds left, and they punt the fucking ball. So you're telling me you're punting the fucking ball with 40 seconds left. The spread is 3 points. It's only a 2-point game right now. That's just too convenient.
Did you lose money? No, not me. I didn't bet on that.
But someone else I knew did lose. And when I bet, I just bet like little shit, $10, $20.
I never bet, man.
I don't bet anything crazy. And I'm mostly on soccer.
Because you're inside, you know, Illuminati.
Nah.
I'm playing.
But if you're looking at it that way, that's just too convenient. That's just too convenient to make everybody lose their money. Like, you know? But. What? You don't bet? Why don't you bet?
I don't bet, man. I'm lucky in a lot of ways in life. Betting just has never been one of them.
He doesn't want to test that.
I lose money like stupid.
Do you try to bet like again to win your money back when you're betting and shit like that? Is that the type of better you have? It happened
a couple of times, and I just realized I was like, it's not for me.
Yeah.
I do a bet once in a while, but the first time I lose, it's over. Like, I don't like losing money, so it's a wrap for that.
I set a limit. I set a limit. If I'm trying to bet like on some soccer games or whatever, I set a limit. All right. I'm going to lose $30 this weekend, and that's all I have to bet. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I've been up like the last 4 weeks. Yeah. But you know, if I lose 30, I'm not betting no more. I'm only going to lose 30 at any moment, or 40, or 50, whatever limit I set. I could win whatever. I'm still only going to lose whatever that is for the weekend. And if I win, let's say $100, I'm not betting now 100 on the next game.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I'm just cash out.
See, now I just like betting with drinks, with friends.
Yeah.
Like, I got the next drink if this happens.
That works. Yeah.
It's a win-win.
That's always
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
But it does add a little excitement to the game. What was it? We bet $2 that the next score would be like, or $1.50 that the next score would be the Patriots defense. And now for that $1.50, you're in the game like a motherfucker. Yep. You could win like 400 because yep. it's never going to happen. So the fucking guy took a fumble that wasn't a fumble, started running back. You're up. Go, 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 go. For $1.50, all that excitement, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it. The $1.50 is worth the excitement.
Sports, man.
Yeah, Freddie, if you did have to bet, who would you bet for, though?
For the Super Bowl? Yeah.
I don't think I would ever bet against the Patriots.
Oh, bet against them?
I would never bet against the Patriots. Nah. I can't, man. That you want to talk about some Illuminati stuff?
I think they said Tom Brady been to the Super Bowl 9 times.
Yep.
That's OD. Yep. That's more than any franchise. Yeah. Right? He's his old franchise. It's like twice crazy, as much.
You never bet against Brady and Belichick.
Did you see at the helm? They had like 36 players that played in a AFC championship game before.
Yeah.
That's fucking the Chiefs had zero. You know what I mean? It's like crazy. it was meant for them to win that shit. Because they're just too good. Too experienced.
Brady's the GOAT, man. He's the GOAT.
He's too nice. Experienced. He is nice.
You don't bet against him. Same reason you don't bet against Jordan.
I heard Brady's a machine, bro. Like literally, I heard he's a robot.
Yeah. That's you know a lot of people have theories like that about LeBron and Drake. Yeah,
nah,
you think LeBron is a
they're
is
very
a robot.
Real dudes.
No. You met him?
Yes.
You met LeBron?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
How tall is he in person?
He's 6 foot.
He's a bull, tall. Man. He's a bull. He's like 6'8" and just massive. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's an athlete. You look at him and you're like,
where'd you meet them?
Were you like starstruck when you met?
Covering the finals.
Oh,
covering
okay.
the finals, doing a lot of assignments for .com type of stuff where I had to be at all of the practices and I was recording stuff for like all of our social media accounts, just being being there.
And you use social media to like push your own name and brand too, right?
I don't a lot actually. I love posting about my work. I love posting about, you know, stuff. I love promoting like my work that I do for the company.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a social media guy myself.
Mm. Right.
I love it. I love to be on Instagram, for example. That's my stuff. But I don't enjoy oversharing my life with people because I figure I'd rather show off like I do cool stuff. Like, why not show that off? Like, that's cool. I don't mind. Like, work stuff is cool. But I'm a little selfish with, like, my personal time.
Got it.
I like to feel like nobody. Like, the people I'm around, I want them to just know, like yo, I'm here in the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
You got to stay 10 toes down. As we
However, say. I should be way more into social media.
A little bit.
We all should be more.
I should post more. I should do more stuff.
Just post more stuff about work then.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like,
more
how many
should post more stuff about this podcast?
Like, yeah, there you go. You gotta post waiting right here.
I'll absolutely. This is the coolest thing I've done all week, so of course. But like, how many pictures can you take of yourself, like, in front of the same monitor, in front of the same logo, in front of the same, you know? I'd rather just, once the segment's out, I'll promote that segment.
Bro, someone right next to you is probably doing that shit every day.
Yeah. You know, look, no shade. That's totally cool.
Yeah.
they have way more followers than I
totally
do.
Cool. Yeah.
They all have way more. I'm like, that's why you got a lot more followers than I do, because you're
every
consistent.
Day.
Like,
back here again. Another one of these Tuesdays. You know?
New tie. Yeah.
But you started off acting in like Spanish films, and I actually saw that you made an appearance on Marisol.
Marisol?
Yeah, I don't know. It was on IMDb, bro. I don't know.
Oh, no. Marisol is a new short film
that
new.
I
did.
I thought it was the old
year.
Show. I thought you made an appearance as a kid. I was like, that's insane.
Nah. Not a little child actor.
Big questions. Big questions to that.
That was shot here in Washington Heights, man. We shot that last year with a cool group of people. I still enjoy doing it very much every chance I get.
Yeah, yeah. What part of Washington Heights?
There's a music venue up there. And it's kind of right around there. And I forget the name of the music venue. I don't live in Washington Heights. I'm in Queens. Mm-hmm. But I've only been in Washington Heights, honestly, a handful of times. Mm-hmm. Which is a damn shame. Because
the culture up there is crazy.
It's
lit.
Trust and believe. I've partied in Dykeman. I've partied around Washington Heights. But never in Washington Heights. And
do they think you're Colombian over there, too?
What's up?
They think you're Colombian over there, too?
They think I'm all types of things. Colombian. They say everything but Mexican. And then it's like, nah, I'm Mexican. What?
No way.
Yo, and even Latin people, too. Even Latin people from up here, because our migration patterns are different. You know, that's why you have certain people up here, certain people down in Texas. Like, They're like, yeah. Oh, you don't look Mexican. I'm like, but there's 300 million of us. How the hell do you think, how the hell do you think we're all going to look the same?
Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
So you actually got to interview Eva Longoria too, right?
Yeah.
Before, was yep. that, what would you say is like one of the, I guess, biggest people that you interviewed that got you like really starstruck?
That's only happened a handful of times.
AKA now that he's mentioned someone that he would be starstruck with.
Yeah, you know what? I don't really get starstruck. I don't, and I'm not just saying this to bullshit. I don't. My first big interview was Enrique Iglesias in 2008.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Right?
Oh, and, my God.
And I was really nervous beforehand because it's my first interview ever.
And it's Enrique Iglesias.
Didn't that Pitbull song come out in 2008?
Even
I graduated fucking high school in 2007. He was fucking...
Yeah.
I had my first job. That's crazy, CD store,
bro.
And all they played was Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah. English or Spanish?
In Spanish.
In Spanish,
in
right.
Newport, Marjorie City.
We used to jam that 1997 Enrique Iglesias, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
So I was a little nervous. And then I interviewed him, dude, and it was fine. It was like the coolest thing ever, coolest dude ever. Yeah. And ever since then, it was kind of like, you just interviewed one of the biggest pop stars in the world. Like, what? Why the hell are you ever going to be nervous about interviewing anybody ever? You know, like you shouldn't, because they're just people and they're cool. And you just got to like vibe them out to see how friendly you can get.
Hmm.
And that's cool. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Have you ever like asked anybody like the worst question? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Man. Absolutely. It wasn't a question. It was a comment. But
what was
it's a really fucking bad one, dude. I was at a red carpet for the ESPYs my first year, and I was doing an interview, and I called, and I don't want to give too much information, but I called a certain athlete. I introduced them that they played for an opposite team than the one that they actually played for.
Oh, like their rival. Like their rival?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, man. It was really bad. And as soon as...
Was he pissed?
Did he say anything?
He turned around and he kind of said, he was like, well, I'm actually proud to represent this team. And I was like...
Yes, you are.
I'm done.
Yes, you
I'm
are. Aren't
you? Yes, you are. Very proud.
It was a
you
big.
Really you thought your career was done.
I thought my career was done at ESPN. I was like,
How early on was that?
It was also my first year.
Was it a star player?
It was. Yeah, it was a star player. It wasn't that he was a star player. Is that he had a star play that year in one of the biggest sporting events in the world?
Damn.
You was getting them all out the way.
Yeah, so
any more funny stories?
I can do. I have too much. It mostly has been not that horrible, but but that was one of, like you said. Yeah, that wasn't a dumb question. That was just a dumb thing to do. And I knew all about that player. It was just like a slip of the mind. You know?
Yeah, because you were probably thinking of like the opposing team. That's funny.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Horrible.
Well, you said you were nervous with a couple other people after Enrique. So a couple people made you nervous. So after that, it was just like
the red car. The red carpet stuff is always makes me a little nervous because you're standing there doing something on the red carpet, and then they're like, "All right, JJ Watt's coming. Okay, Danica Patrick is coming.
Yeah.
Oh, so and so's coming," and then they'll present to you. That's fine. Everyone knows JJ Watt and Danica Patrick. I could do a 15-minute interview on them right now if I needed to, maybe more. Right. But then they'll bring like a random NASCAR driver that you really don't follow NASCAR. You know what I mean?
Got no information.
So what is there like a list of questions they give you to ask, or like you just have to make it up on the spot?
Kind nah,
of?
They trust me to do my job, and they know that I'm going to ask questions that are reflective of the type of environment. You know, if it's fun, it's fun. If it's a little more serious, it's a little more serious.
That's dope that they give you that freedom.
Yeah. But they're not scared to tell you, hey, don't ever ask that question again.
Oh yeah, like, most definitely.
You know?
Yeah, never again. Hey, don't ever fucking say
there hasn't.
Don't ever fucking say this Knicks player plays for the Nets.
And it's
for
real. Love to be that kind of boss. You would love to be that kind of boss. You'd be like, listen, don't fucking say this.
Hey, that was cool and all, funny. Ha 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 ha. But no.
Never again.
But you also cover X Games. You cover a bunch of different sports in general, right? So you cover X Games, you cover basketball, football.
A little bit. Not. I'm actually going on my first football assignment this coming week.
Oh, cool. Ooh,
and it's a Super Bowl. Hey. Yeah. my first football assignment, and I'm
gonna it's the Super Bowl. Hey, that's dope.
Sorry,
it's out of budget.
It's out of budget.
Because I just had to. I'm so excited about it. Dude.
We blow budgets. We blow budgets on this episode.
Damn, on the Super Bowl. So, all right. So, what do you get? What do you get out of that?
He's
you get
so to bring excited. Somebody. He's like how many can people I do you go? Get to bring?
they do you get to take the drinks in the fridge?
He didn't even know what to say. He's like, how do I film it? How to say this?
Do you get to keep the soap from the hotel?
Like, can you bring me back something?
I just don't want to be in the same scenario in my life and like steal the soap and get fired. You know.
Tell me what not to do. Yeah.
Always take the soap.
Always take the soap.
Yeah. Got it.
And a towel.
So, all right. So they send you out there. Like, what's the direction? Like, what are your
what's your job out there? Fun stuff. So this assignment is going to be for our video gathering and management group, which is basically the group of guys and women at ESPN that are constantly feeding stuff out to social media, constantly feeding stuff out to ESPN.com. ESPNDeportes.com. These people work night and day, and that's the reason that you can always just like log on to Instagram or ESPN.com and always see a fresh video. So it's really cool. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be out there with a group of guys gathering all of the coverage of the Super Bowl, but also the behind the scenes of it, the color of it, the cool parties, the great food.
The wardrobe like? What's the word? Describe it. Paint the picture for us.
No,
the wardrobe,
I love that he just looked at me when he knew the food. He looked at me.
I know. We had some yuca before we recorded this.
I always went to parties for the food. So like, why would I change my lifestyle? Like, I'm here for the food. That's it.
I love it. Yeah, I don't know what the wardrobe. I've never been to Atlanta, man. So I'm pretty psyched about that too. But it'll be fun, and we always find cool people to talk to, players to interview outside of their zone. Like what it's we've done some really cool stuff. Like sometimes you just don't realize a player does or says such cool stuff outside of the game. And so there's been a lot of those.
Are you like on a team, and you know basically you're hosting, and then you go around with a microphone, and this is how you're capturing everything, or
hosting and producing? It's a team of us, because if at the end of the day we don't produce at least 5 to 7 different segments, we're not really taking advantage of the opportunity.
Right.
So there is a little bit of that pressure, and then the pressure sort of dies out because you realize that anywhere there's sports, there's going to be sports fans that are crazy as hell and fun as hell. And you always find cool stuff to do around really dedicated sports fans, especially in cool cities like Atlanta. Like, yo, I'm glad Cleveland doesn't have a chance of getting back to the finals in the NBA.
What's one of the craziest cities like with the craziest fans?
Oh, that you've experienced,
NBA, I would say Golden State is really loud, man. Really? Golden State, yeah.
I can imagine, bro.
Inside their current arena, it gets really, really loud. Boston is really crazy. But soccer stadiums is where it's at.
Yeah, of course.
I remember you telling me about the shit in London or was it Italy?
I went to Italy.
You're a huge football fan.
Yes, huge. Yeah. Huge. I'm an AC Milan fan. And I went to their biggest rival, AC Milan Inter.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, you look left and then from the top of the stadium, they have the banner come out and it takes up maybe like 100 rows.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened with that camera, but it is what it is, because we're going on break soon anyway for drink refills. It covers like 100 rows, right? And then they bring it down to all the way to the front row. So you have the whole top section, and then there's a continued design from the bottom to the front row, right?
Yeah.
So it looked like a huge castle, and this was the one team doing it. Now, this castle had two doors on it, which the fans basically are creating this whole thing. Yeah. The doors open up. And then you have knights coming out, and this is all like the designs that are happening for one team.
What?
And then on the other side, you had the team had like the devil, like basically whole, because it was like the away team only got the top stands.
Right, right.
So they covered the whole top stands. And it was, man, little kids were cursing out the referee, like 5-year-old kids. I saw this one kid cursing the talent with the middle finger out. I'm like, what the? It was insane. The culture, the soccer culture
out there is amazing.
It's amazing.
I was watching some WWE stuff.
It's very violent in some culture, but. In some like, cultures, it's extremely
violent.
Yeah,
you ever see the old WWE? These kids get vicious. Oh, yeah. Like, in the stands. Oh, vicious. Like,
that was me in fifth grade.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I've never been to one. I was younger with my... I watched them on TV. I never needed
to go to one. It was right on the TV.
It was right on the TV, man. Watch it with your grandparents. Yeah, that's like, the way to go. That was it. Right
I've definitely tried a lot of moves on like...
Who's your favorite wrestler? Who's your favorite wrestler?
My favorite, I don't watch wrestling anymore, but growing up, I was...
There's no good ones now. Anyway.
Undertaker.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was watching
like, freakily, his like, brother Undertaker.
Kane. His brother Kane was killing the game.
That's where you got the...
Kane used to be my favorite until he took his mask off. Once Kane took his mask off, he was not my favorite no more.
It changed, right?
Yeah, I was like, stupid looking face. No, I'm kidding.
Yo, shout out to the Undertaker, Kane. Yo, shout out to his uncle Paul or whoever that guy was. Paul Bearer with the fucking.
Oh, he yeah, just yo, he passed away. Rest in peace, Paul Bearer.
Rest in peace, but yo, that guy was yelling.
He played his part very well. Yeah. Like the creepiest dude ever.
Yeah, for real.
Deadman. Okay, go on break. Go on break.
We'll be back right after this.
And we'll be back. Addison was a fucking monster, bro.
I can bet
because
he's a dick.
Yo, yo, we got memories, bro.
We were on the first ever team. Like, that first day we were on the team.
Y'all were on the first rugby team ever?
We got into so many fights. Because we used to be like the team that would fuck teams up, but we didn't really know all the rules.
Addison didn't know all the rules.
Miguel knew. Miguel was the only one on the team that really knew the rules because he played in high school or whatever. Everybody else was like, all right, so we just fucked this guy up? And the coach is like, yeah.
Yeah, basically.
So the coach would tell us how, like, what?
Addison was one of the Bash Brothers. Yo, let me see those headphones, B.
Yeah, and the coach would be like, I got a red card every fucking game. So we're like, fuck yeah, we're going to get one too. He said, my first rugby year ever, I got a fucking red card every single fucking game. Yeah, we were thinking like, at what point was the team like, yo, chill the fuck out, bro. How many red cards are you going
to
get?
Facts. I used to go in.
Dude, you guys are fucking hardcore, man.
Coach Mark.
He was an old little dickhead.
Yeah. He was a funny dude.
He literally looked like a dick. But he was cool. He was nice to me.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. He was nice to everybody, in general.
He let me miss practice and start.
Yeah, that was true for a while.
Huh?
Yeah, you knew the rules.
Yeah, I knew the rules.
That was true for a long time. Yeah. Until we actually got like more people, then he was like, fuck Miguel. once he realized, like, all right, we actually got, like, more people now that know the rules. He's like, all right, fuck him now.
Fuck this guy.
Fuck him. He was never good anyway. He used to switch stories like that. Like,
yeah.
You'd be the best player 1 week, and then the next week you miss one practice. We don't fucking need him anyway. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
For real, bro.
It was hilarious.
Unforgettable guy.
Best fucking character. Ever.
He was a great coach. Coaching-wise. He was a great coach.
Damn, yeah. College rugby, man.
Yeah.
Wait, were y'all big in comparison to like the other rugby players?
Josh definitely was the biggest. Josh is fucking dude.
Josh is big. Josh looks like a rugby player.
You know, me and Valencia.
Valencia was a big dude too.
Yeah. Josh throughout college was extremely was always bigger than everybody else.
That's true.
You could turn the
I'll just record Freddie the whole time.
He's
gonna hold it up.
I'll put it up. I'll put it down back.
Versatile.
He's versatile.
Josh, bro, he knew multiple languages. He played on. He went to college to do whatever the fuck he went to college for. And then out of nowhere, this nigga's on a basketball team.
Like,
what the fuck? You find out he's Dominican and shit. Like, yo, you Dominican? He's like, yeah, que lo que and shit. Like, oh shit, me too. I'm Dominican. This nigga's on the basketball team out of nowhere. Like, oh damn, that's my boy Josh Bellomio. You know, like, that's just mad cool. And then like, yo, I haven't seen him since then.
Yeah. Damn, that's wild.
Then you come into Edison. I haven't seen Edison in months. I haven't seen DC in months. This is my first time meeting. You know what I'm saying? Meeting you, meeting her. This nigga I haven't seen in 7 years or however long. 10 years. It could be forever. Not DC, Josh.
Right.
But Last time I saw Josh, he was playing ball in the gym, bro. In the fitness center, like everybody else. Edison shoots like this.
He just did Josh, his own shot.
Like Josh, you know, like we said, Josh was sweaty as hell. Like, how, Josh is I know dumb that. Sweaty, how you think bro. I know that? We play ball together, you get me?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's not just some shit I made up.
You never want to guard Josh. He's like one of those dudes that you never want to guard in the gym. Because you're like, bro. We didn't even like shoot a point yet. You know what I mean? We're just checking the ball, it's and like Josh is sweating. You know, like
it's like a natural.
I play ball with Josh.
It's a natural lubricant. It's like defense.
It's natural lubricant as defense.
Yeah, for real. If it was the wilderness,
you
bro.
You ever see a whole King Polly?
Yeah,
raindrops.
Like, I
raindrops.
Told bro to put on a shirt, bro. You got to put on a shirt, bro.
No, but there's a few characters in there's a few characters when you play water, Matt Sweaty. It's normal. It's a normal thing. It's not
there's one in the, you know, like, there's one that always shows up at the court.
Nah, but
you know what I mean?
You know,
and nobody
just
wants to guard
him. Yeah, nobody wants to show you.
That just goes to show you, like, how far we go back. Like, you know these people, like, from this long.
Yeah.
And it's, like, wow to see the growth. It's, like, crazy, bro.
That's dope.
Yeah, it is.
Beautiful thing. 7 this years.
Is speaking of growth.
Is that a nice segue?
Yeah. Speaking of growth. All right. We talk about X Games, basketball. We'll touch back on it. Betting. All right. All right. We're going to go to the hot topics. All right. Right away.
Hot topics.
All right.
We got hot topics.
Yeah. Hot topics. All right. First of all, you are an openly homosexual person, anchor, sports anchor.
Yeah.
All right. So, I want to know, like, in general, with gay athletes in sports, like, first of all, like, what do you think about that in general? And also, like, do you think that a lot of athletes are hiding the fact that they are gay or homosexual because of, like, just everything around sports in general?
I think, yes, you're right about a lot of what you said. And just to clarify, like, I'm openly gay, and, like, all my colleagues and stuff know, like, it's something that, you know, going back to talking about, like, I would never have a reason to talk about that during a show. Not yet, at least.
Yeah.
But it's something that all of my colleagues, all of my friends at work, it's just everybody that needs to know knows, and I'm proud of it. And I really am happy that I'm not the only one. There's a couple of other open anchors out there, you know, in sports and outside of sports. So that was sort of my example of why doesn't, you know, you do your job good.
Yeah.
Do it. Or do it well. That's all that matters. You know what I mean? So that was really cool. And yes, just by the law of average, when you look at how many people identify within the LGBTQA and on and on and on and on community, no disrespect to what those initials actually stand for. But when you just look at that law of averages, there's gay athletes, and there's gay athletes in every sport. And if there's only a handful of open ones that play in a professional league somewhere in the world right now, but hopefully
every
at some point
has
that
like
changes.
One, you know what I mean? I
yeah,
think football
yeah.
just got
more
two,
one,
right?
More than one.
But I'm saying, like, it started out with like one person, and then
and each
like,
one of those people, man, each one of those people makes a difference, you know. Mm-hmm. And even if they retire and then say it, it'll still help out or whatever. I think there's a lot of angles to that, but to not get too damped into like why I think athletes don't come out. Yeah, it's definitely still a stigma, and a lot of athletes just don't want that distraction. Like, if they're trying to do their thing on court and want to do their job and do it well, they shouldn't have to have that distraction. And people can argue that, no, well, they definitely should, because then that way it'll actually affect a change in society, and especially with the bullying and how much, you know, gay kids just feel like they're in danger. They're in danger from themselves. And that's a really scary thing to think about. 12-year-old boys are committing suicide. They're hanging themselves in their room because they feel so much hatred towards who they just feel that they are. Like, being themselves is causing them so much self-hatred that when I look at it from that point, I do want that top caliber athlete to come out already. Mm-hmm. And again, with respect to everyone that's come out, that's so dope. Thank you for doing what you do. Right. There is a part of me that wants to see that more, because that's the people that really can make a change. The people that, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe an athlete that, dude, they already, you know, whatever they've accomplished, they just don't care. They're willing to take on that distraction, or not even look at it as a distraction. Like, I hope it happens. I do.
It will be a media distraction.
Yeah.
That's like,
it will be. Yeah. It will be.
There's no chance that it's not going to be a distraction for the athlete in question.
Yeah.
But, you know, to a point, like, if one star athlete comes out, it'll make it much easier for everybody
There's a lot more athletes being vocal about everything, I think, nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, including for sure. It's
like mental health issues and stuff like that.
All types of things. Yeah. I've seen athletes with ski masks on now, you know, like silly, even silly stuff like that, like strong issues, like mental health issues. Like they're giving athletes a lot of freedom to speak and about all types of topics.
Yeah. Also about what they wear. It was actually like a really big thing when I was actually back in fashion college. When the NBA players actually started dressing up before the games and wearing these
outfits. They were forced to. There was that rule, right?
Yeah, that white guy's rule.
They were forced to dress up nice because they had to wear
it was like a specific like suit or whatever. And then they were like, some of them were getting made fun of because they were like making their own style and they were getting questioned about their sexuality and all this stuff. And like,
that's the first place they go to.
Yeah, they were getting made fun of. Like a bunch of for nonsense, you know, but. Shout out to the women stylists. There actually was a black female actually who I believe she was styling LeBron James and DK, the one that's DK.
Donna Curry?
Maybe Kevin Durant?
Donkey Kong?
She said DK. Donkey
Kong?
Donna Curry?
I think she's talking about Durantula. She's talking about Durantula. Yeah.
You're talking about the guy that hyped himself on Twitter?
Good try.
DK?
Shout out DK.
Next topic.
That was like a big thing, you know what I mean? Yeah. So there are little things like that, and that was a big distraction from them playing their game, actually, and you know what I mean, and causing a whole bunch of stuff. And I think it was like LeBron James who's like, who cares about like my sexuality? It's like, it's what I wear.
Yeah, and these guys are going to get flack no matter for what they do, and it's unfortunate. Like, when you saw Carmelo Anthony and a lot of the ballers start going in and put themselves as a face of, you know, social change for, you know, rather against the violence that occurs by the authorities to the African-American community and to the Latino community as well. You have athletes that are standing up for that and are still being told to shut the F up. Like, we don't want to hear you talking about something that is important to you. Just like, shut up and dribble. You know what I mean? Like, that was sort of the craziest thing to me. So whatever social issue they're going to take on, they're going to be met with a lot of pushback. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of athletes that stand up for something outside of their sport.
Right.
So I'm proud of Carmelo. I'm proud of LeBron. I'm proud of all of these athletes that really want to make a change. And at some point, I hope, you know, the gay community can also just sort of have that and be like, dude, do you know how many freaking amazing athletes are out there right now that don't want to join like a middle school soccer team or basketball team or football team because they're just scared to get bullied? You know what I mean? Like, it goes that far back. They see the example, they say, screw it, I feel included, I feel like that could be me, let me join that team. You know? And some do, and a lot of them are brave enough and do, and good, thank God for that, you know. But there could be a lot more potential and more just better society. Yo, why the fuck should people have to hide something that they are? Period.
What is So when you first went to ESPN, were you like afraid? Did you have that same feeling, you know, about being openly gay? Did like, you have to like, you were telling us you had to talk to your agent about certain things?
Yeah, never. ESPN has been the coolest, most open and receptive place I think I've ever worked at. Like, my first interview with my producer, he goes, I just want you to know we're super cool here. We don't care about who you date. We don't care about what you've done. We don't care about any of that. Do your job. Do it well. You represent the worldwide leader in sports. Anything else, we don't care about. Like, well, we are very welcome.
That's awesome to know, actually, about ESPN.
I can definitely respect that.
I respect that so much.
Do your job and
exactly.
Do it well. I don't give a fuck how many lines you have to take off the table as long as I get those 7 seconds.
I don't give a fuck what you're doing. Just do your job.
Having said that, I did hide it for the first 2 years.
Okay.
Having said that, I'm not to be a hypocrite. You know, I can't be a hypocrite.
You gotta put your toes in the water.
I had to pay my dues. I had to pay my dues, and I felt like I really wanted to prove myself as a talent, and not just, you know, when you start something new, people hear about you. They hear about, they're like, who's this kid? I didn't want one of those things to be like, oh, we got a gay Mexican kid. Right, you know what I'm saying?
You didn't want that title. You don't want people to know you for like a title.
And there's nothing wrong with that title, but you don't want to be labeled right off the bat. I'm like, let me pay my dues. Let me get my stuff in order. God knows, all I need to do is focus on representing well. Yeah. And then it became easy just with colleagues and whatnot.
Then you won three Emmys.
I've never. No, that was before.
That was before.
Not with ESPN.
He was killing before he really got on.
That was with Univision, but yes, that was before.
Yeah, he's been killing the game for a while.
Yeah.
Since before he even learned English.
When
he was on the Spanish movies.
No,
nobody at
Univision. Do you think that would have?
I was closeted. I was very closeted. In my early 20s, I started coming out to my family, and that was cool. Okay. And then, in my late 20s was when I just didn't care who
found out. Did people know before you told them?
A couple of friends. A couple of my, longtime friends from middle school.
Close friends. Yeah. Did anybody surprise you? Because I know, that's difficult for people, to come out sometimes.
Yeah.
I've had encounters where you tell people, yo, it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, before they tell you that it's cool. Before they tell you. So, I know it's difficult for them to, actually say it.
It is. It's very hard, man. It's very difficult. Yeah. I come from a very traditional Mexican family, which everyone has trouble coming out, you know? But a friend of mine put it in perspective. They're like, you know, those who love you will love you regardless.
Right.
And those who this changes their love for maybe never even really loved you. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was the deepest thing. They probably never loved me, who
Doesn't
I actually
that give you
am.
Chills, as an adult, I feel like when you're at that turning point in your life, when we're all deciding, we all want to do a podcast and everything like that, you know, you're just everybody else thinks you're stupid. You're just like, why are you doing all this? Y'all really think y'all gonna be something? Y'all really think this is gonna be something? And you're like, if you really support me, if you're really down for me.
Yeah. No, I had a friend that came out, and I know it was very difficult for him. But at the end of the day, I guess when he realized it really not a big deal, then it was more comfortable for him. But that's what I told him. I was it's not, that's your life, bro. I don't give a fuck. What the fuck? I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck, bro.
I don't care, bro.
Well, and y'all are cool as shit for thinking that, you know? Y'all really are. And most people in today's society that I tend to kick it with really are, but it's still hard. It's still hard for people.
I'm sure. It's not, especially with family and stuff. I'm sure that's got to be extremely difficult, especially if you have traditional families, Albanian families.
Imagine you're thinking
getting married if you're Albanian, you're having kids. If you're gay and you're Albanian, you're probably having kids anyway. Yeah. Just to make everybody happy. I can't do this.
I heard those Albanian families are kind of like the Latin American families. They're really, really tight, really close, really intense.
Yeah, pretty much.
My mom disowned me a couple times because I wasn't married and didn't have.
It's never like that with Albanians. You never disown, but you get your ass beat. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're gonna want to get out.
You get made fun of at every family party. You're basically a waste. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Spanish families are intense.
No, it's all about reproduction. I've dated numerous Spanish women, and
to get introduced to
the family, it's crazy. Yeah, I'm low key.
What's
the
craziest thing about getting introduced to a Latin girl's family?
It's just I don't know, because they warn me about them like. My dad really doesn't like black guys. I'm like, what the fuck?
Can we talk about that?
Let's talk about that. Because
that's a damn shame, but it still works
so
that way today.
It's just crazy,
true.
Bro.
It's
I'm
very
like,
true.
Damn.
It's
like,
very
I'm,
true.
I'm,
it's very true.
Like, I fuck with y'all. Like, what? Why you like me? It's crazy. Like,
Albanians will be like that with anything not Albanian. Like, period. Like, I don't give a fuck what you're like. No, they're not Albanian. Like, that's right away. My grandma, when I first introduced my girlfriend to my grandma, she was like, well, it's good to have fun.
Yo, that's crazy.
My grandma.
So that's where you get it from.
To have fun and stuff. Yeah, I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be a shocker.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's such a dick move.
Yeah.
Oh, man. My dad likes to call them time wasters. He's like, oh, you got another time waster.
Oh, you got another time waster. Damn. That's crazy. Hmm. Miguel got kids, so that's a whole nother story.
You got kids, man?
Yeah, two kids.
Got two. Nice. Got two kids. Beautiful kids.
Beautiful kids.
They're already on top of their shoe game.
Listen,
those are model kids. Like, they are models.
My kids have amazing shoe game.
But still, strap up.
My daughter just bought shoes today. I mean, yesterday she bought new shoes. She was showing me her new sneakers that, you know.
You mean that you bought?
Yeah. I mean, she bought them.
You get her any baller, like any basketball player sneakers?
Nah, hell no. See, I get her whatever she likes. Sometimes she asked me for Jordans recently, so I was looking at Jordans. But, you know, I let her pick, but she doesn't really know what to pick.
Yeah.
So, you know, she thought she was buying Jordans, but she really bought some just like some regular Nikes. And she's like, I want these. And I'm just like, all right, get whatever you want.
That's what's up.
But, yeah, but my kids are crazy, bro. All I can say is when you do have kids, like, apples don't fall far from trees.
Yeah.
That's like the best description I can say of kids. And it's just like insane because they're just like you. Yeah. And it's just like nuts because you there's shit that you don't teach them.
And they're just doing it. Like, yeah. Wait a minute.
It's like, bro, you could just, it's like my son the other day, this is hilarious, bro. My son is 3 years old, right? So I'm talking to my brother from across the room or whatever. And then my son is like, daddy, he's like, why you call Theo nigger? So I started laughing, like I laughed in his face. I'm laughing in 3-year-old's face. I like slapping the bed and shit, like, oh my god. And then I'm like, listen, Noel. I'm like,
don't say that.
That's a curse word. I'm like, don't say that. I'm like, adults, I'm an adult. You're not an adult. I'm like, I say that, you can't say that.
How does that feel?
Oh. It's funny. I think it's hilarious. I find humor in everything. Like,
to say like I'm the adult, you're the kid. How does that feel?
Sometimes it feels ridiculous. Sometimes
it's like,
it
really?
Ridiculous.
Like, I'm really saying this?
Sometimes it feels ridiculous because it's like, I'm eating ice cream because I'm an adult and you can't eat ice cream. And it's like, no, there's no reason why he can't be eating ice cream. It's just like, he could eat ice cream too. we both should be eating ice cream right now. It's midnight.
Hell yeah.
But I could do it because it's my choice.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Don't do like me. Do as I tell you to be.
I always make wrong decisions.
There's nothing wrong with you being 3 years old and being up at midnight. It's just you eating ice cream at this time is wrong.
Yeah, that's the wrong part.
Should not be up eating ice cream.
Bruh, it's live and learn, my nigga. So
my father used to tell me.
don't say crazy shit around your kids, bro.
My father used to tell me that basically all the trouble that he caused his parents, I'm causing him. And then he's like, and my father used to tell me the same thing. And he's like, and I hope your kids do the same shit to you. Like, I'm cursed from 10 years ago. Like, yeah, my kids are gonna be same as me, man.
I think we all heard that.
You're not good. Terrible.
Yeah, I'm like, can't say shit like that.
The worst part is Edison's gonna be laughing along with them.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good one.
Wait.
That's the funny part about, I think, having kids is like just being able to laugh with them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
off the shit that they're doing, like, they make you really laugh. Like, kids are, they're so honest, man. That shit is crazy.
How often do I work around kids?
Yeah.
Not very often. Well, actually, like every, the last big one was the Little League World Series.
Oh, that's
kids everywhere.
It was kids everywhere.
It was awesome. It was such a fun experience, man. It was so.
They act so professional.
Kids from all over the world. You're interviewing them. They're talking like adults.
Yeah.
And you're realizing that you're learning a lot about like 12-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? Or you're learning from 12-year-olds. How to like act a certain way, like when they lose, all these kids want to do is cry and you know throw their bats in there and whatnot. Yeah. And some of them do, and it's okay because they're 12. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them do, and that's okay. But most of them will still come up to you and talk to you on camera like adults,
like,
and
like
it's
a professional.
Like, oh damn,
athlete.
That's cool. Yeah, like, that's really cool. No, it was absolutely cool. I love kids, man. I got two nephews, and I'm 14 years older than one of my younger brothers.
Oh, you're kind of like me.
So exactly. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So you can still give them nuggies when you see them.
Yeah. So you kind of that's like a baby that you've seen from the moment they were born. Right. So it's
are you very close with your younger brother?
Yeah. Yeah, both of them. I got two younger brothers. One of them
are they around here or no?
No, one of them. One of them, yeah. One of them is a stud at Columbia right now, absolutely Whoa. Killing it. He came up
yeah. all the pussy. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, wait,
he's, got a girlfriend back in San Antonio. Oh, though, my bad. And they decided to do the long distance relationship, which hey, all for never works. It, you know, but
never works for me.
It worked for Edison.
Edison did that. Congratulations, Edison.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out Diego and Maria. You're gonna make it.
Edison did it. He made it. You guys will be just fine.
Yeah.
And the other one's down in Texas, and he's only 2 years younger than me. So yeah, we all get along absolutely dope.
So the one at Columbia is the 14 years younger than
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Oh snap! All right. So what is he, a freshman now? Or?
He's a sophomore.
Mm. Sophomore.
He's a sophomore. What is he playing? He's doing.
Is he playing sports or is he just like a genius?
No. He's
because he's one or the other.
He's like he's like a bodybuilder. He actually is. Yeah. Whoa. He just hit his first plus 300 bench press. He's doing like over.
Bro, I pulled my muscle with like 35s on leg lunges the other day. So
yeah, man, he's crazy.
I don't even like to walk up the stairs, bro. Yeah, fuck
off. Edison's just trying to master his meal plan. Okay, don't give him too much.
Hey, that's a lot of shout weight, outs bro. To you too, Edison. Yeah, doing dope, man.
Hey, shout out to Adrian from Quantum Split for hooking it up with this diet.
The meal plan, yeah, the diet plan, 14 pounds. Looking good, bro. That's
yeah,
dope.
14 pounds. Shout out to Edison. 14 pounds. Yeah,
keep it going, man. Are we gonna see?
I was like. Because you got a haircut.
But he's going to
he exaggerated the 14, but it's fine. You
know, are we going to start seeing the thirst traps once you get that six
he
pack?
Said one ab. Yo, listen.
Yeah. once I see an ab, you're going to see some fucking cockiness that you've never seen before, all right? I need one ab, and it's getting one me to ab. That next level of like.
He's
going
to come to
you.
The show with no shirt on.
Yeah.
bro.
Excuse me.
Look at this. Like, this one right here.
We'll start calling you Cristiano Ronaldo, man. You're the Albanian Cristiano.
Oh shit. Well, see, the Albanian Cristiano, you know, just I guess, you know, since Cristiano's up here, the Albanian version would be just a little bit off, so one ab would suffice.
Well, yeah, man. Yeah.
No, but eventually Adrian is gonna get me to an ab. And I don't think I've seen an ab hopefully. Since high school, so you know, it would be nice to see them again. It's been a while. Catch up, you know what I mean?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Been. It's been warm under this blanket.
Does working at ESPN ever make you want to work out crazy?
A lot. Yeah. A lot, bro. A lot. It motivates me so much. And I love beer and pizza equally as much, though. So that's kind of like I'm on that forever thing where I work out maybe 5 times a week and I go hard. I love playing basketball. I love running. I mm-hmm. love CrossFit.
What's your favorite? Who you ball like?
Who's better at basketball? You or your boyfriend?
Who you ball like? You got to pick a player.
No, who's better? You or your boyfriend at basketball?
My boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way better. He actually crushes it on the court.
No, he's good. He's good. We were on the same team before. So. Yeah. I know.
He's broken my ankles.
No, he's not like good like that, but he's a powerful dude. You know what I mean? Down low on the post, no homo.
Hashtag no homo.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want him to think that me and his boyfriend have history in college. You know?
I don't know. Mickey did say it was like natural lubricant to guard him. So.
Yeah, like what was that?
Yeah,
like,
that was Miguel.
That was Miguel. That was Miguel.
Listen, that was wild. Listen.
Miguel did call him natural lubricant.
Wait a minute.
That was a defense. That was like a secret basketball move. Like, that shit was crazy. You could not guard him. He was like, get off me, son.
I probably ball like, I don't know, Zaza Pachulia or something, but I'm like 2 feet
that
shorter.
That was a crazy choice.
I'm clumsy, dude. I just have, nah. Here's the problem. I think I'm a point guard. Like, I'm a point guard in my heart.
You got no handle?
But I got my handles are like a 4, 5.
How's the jumper though? How's the jumper?
Jumper's good, dude. Jumper's like an 8. When I'm warm, that jumper's like an 8. I don't fucking miss.
Nice. Mid-range or from the 3?
Nah, I suck at
threes. I'm a jumper type of dude.
I'm
a jumper type of dude.
Yeah.
I play like Dirk.
He shoots with the ball above his head up here.
You got a crazy ass.
I got the
ball above his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people do, and they make
together.
It work.
Me and Derek killed it on the court the other day, and he saw it.
I was surprised, bro.
Are you a dirty player?
Nah, I'm not a dirty player.
Edison plays dirty.
Yeah,
Because really? He plays fucking rugby.
Sometimes. But I do, I like, you know, I do grab sometimes. And stuff when you're like about to pass me. I do kind of like grab and push a little bit. You know what I mean? I give him forearms.
Well, all right. You know what I mean? Makes it interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's your favorite basketball team?
San Antonio Spurs. Go Spurs, go. Go Spurs, go.
Yes, sir. That's my team.
So, all right. For basketball, since you're, first of all, you are one of the few anchors that goes back and forth between English and Spanish, right?
I do mostly Spanish because that's my main contract. Mm-hmm. But I used to host a show called NBA Tonight, and I'm currently like on a rotating pool of talent that does Sports Center on Snapchat.
Nice.
So it's I love doing work both in Spanish and in English.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Do you go to like the parades or something or?
I kind of like that song.
That was like, it's time to...
What's going on?
What were we asking?
I don't even worry about it.
the victory parades?
No, if you go to any, like, anything for, like, because you...
Hey, hit record on that real quick. Sorry. I don't know what time.
For Univision.
All right, there we go.
Univision.
Okay, so what?
You worked with Univision, and I think that, and you're very proud to be from Mexico, the Mexican culture.
Right.
So do you do, like, anything special? Like, any festivals? Any,
We don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
But...
Fuck all that.
I'm proud of that. I love that y'all party to that shit.
For the culture, you gotta explain why you don't.
Because it's not our Independence Day, and then because it's kind of like one of those things where going back to stereotypes sometimes. Like when you see people on TV and they have like Tres Cinco de Mayo, and they got the mustache, and they got the big sombrero, and they got the poncho, and today we're gonna teach you how to make margaritas, and it's kind of like.
Are you fucking kidding me? And tacos.
Well, now you see why in America we don't think you look Mexican.
Can I ask you a serious question? That's true, though. I heard that real Mexicans do not make shrimp tacos.
Oh no, they definitely do.
I just had some shrimp tacos.
If you go down to like the Yucatan Peninsula and anywhere down there
around where the water is.
Yeah, if you go down there, or even like Puerto Vallarta and stuff. No, they definitely make shrimp tacos, man.
Why? Good.
They do. It's like that authentic.
I almost fought a Mexican, man.
Mexican seafood. When you get it fresh, bro. Amazing.
He said, I almost fought a Mexican because of that. I gotta get my passport.
Yo, that listen.
Sounds good. I love me some shrimp tacos. I can make some phenomenal shrimp tacos. I'm sure you so I can only imagine them shrimp tacos.
But do you put spicy stuff on it?
Oh, yes.
The hot sauce.
Yes. It's all about that where sauce. That's where it's at. I throw down in the kitchen. As a man.
So I went to like an authentic taco place in Mexico. Now, so we fucked up. We did the very touristic thing, and we really fucked up on how we were supposed to be eating the tacos.
How do you fuck up tacos?
All right, let me explain. No. So they first brought out this huge fucking plate like this with like a bunch of little shit in the plate. All right, so like you know, like tomatoes and sauces and boom. And then they brought chips with that. So I'm thinking like, all right, damn, they brought a hell of a lot of chip dips. So I'm dipping the fucking chips and I'm trying all the shit. And then the tacos come out with the tacos. Like, you know, if you got beef tacos, it's just the flour and the beef on the taco. All these little things were like stuff that you're supposed to put on the taco. I'm thinking this for the chips. So we're like, yeah, you could take this away.
Take that away.
The tacos come. And I'm like, where the fuck is all the toppings? And I'm like, shit. I just told them to take all the toppings away from the fucking... And they were looking at us.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
They were looking at us like, what is wrong with these two people, bro? What is wrong with these two people?
This is the whitest man that has ever stepped into this restaurant.
Like, they were going back there like, these fucking white people just returned all the toppings.
They were laughing at you. They were literally laughing at you.
They just returned all the toppings from the tacos. They're eating like... Look at them. They're eating like dry-ass tacos.
Typical white person.
And then you leave a bad Yelp review.
What's
your favorite dish though?
Dude, I love all types of food, man. And yeah, I love tacos.
No, but what's your favorite outside of Mexican food?
You traveled. That's hard, bro. I love
top three.
I would say sushi. I love sushi.
I love sushi, man.
I really do. I could eat it all day if I wouldn't get mercury poisoning.
What's your favorite spot in the city, though?
In the city for sushi?
Yeah, come on, man.
Because you lived in the city.
Yeah,
too.
He lives in the city.
Yeah. No, but he lives in Midtown.
Man. That's like in between here and there.
But I feel like a lot of those sushi spots in Midtown are very mediocre.
I'm saying, what's the best spot? I don't know, man. The only sushi spot, he's trying to find a spot, so he could be like, yo, I met this newscaster, you know what I mean, this ESPN and guy, he told so me about the spot, like, you know what I'm saying, so shorty trying to go,
I might
want
to go to the spot.
I would say the only sushi spot I can think of that I know the name of that's great is, it's out of all places, in Connecticut. It's called Sushi Red. It's in a city called Plainville.
That's fine. And that's
we'll go there. Sushi, I think I've had an overnight trip. It's precious. I could get there. Real quick, man, real good.
Real quick, before we get to the end of this, I just want to kind of know, like, so ESPN kind of just kind of fell in. I feel like it just came as you were working with
it was meant to be. I'll never say that it fell into my lap because it was meant to be.
Correct
man.
That.
Yeah, I didn't want to say fall into your lap.
I feel where you're going, but it was just like that year, everything. I don't know if y'all believe in signs and shit, but I had never seen like a Connecticut Tourism Bureau ad down in San Antonio, Texas. And all of a sudden, a couple of months before, I start seeing all of these like Connecticut ads in San Antonio, and during the commercials, they obviously showcase like, hey, ESPN is here, you know, stuff like that. So the way it just kind of sort of happened, it kind of just one of those things that makes me believe like, damn, now this was kind of meant to happen for real. Like, yeah.
So were you like thinking, were you like putting it out there? Like you were like, I really want to be at, not ESPN, but like, you know what I mean? Like during that time, since you say like, you feel like it was a sign or that, what do you feel like you were putting out?
I wanted a greater chance. Uh-huh. I had already done my show in Texas for close to 4 years. And I had been putting out that I wanted a greater chance. I wanted to go national. I wanted to do national and international work. And I wanted to start like making money. And I wanted to get out of San Antonio and try to help out my parents a little more, you know, with their finances and whatnot. So it was more along the lines of just wanting a greater opportunity. Yeah. Mm.
That's beautiful.
So like the next person that's trying to be a news anchor or whatever, what's something you would suggest for them to do and to keep doing so that they, you know, eventually get there?
Don't be cookie cutter. Don't be cookie cutter, man. Everyone thinks. I mentor a couple of students from Arizona State University and other places. Shout out Felipe. He does a real good job. And I mentor them online. And when I see their work, sometimes they feel like, because you grew up with that example of like, welcome to Sports Center, blah 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 blah. Very,
you know, what I mean?
So they want to be like that.
Yeah,
it's kind of like how I announced the show.
Or the Latinos, you know, the Latinos. No, you're cool, man. You seem natural. But some people try to sound like this all the time on the radio or in the television. You know, it's kind of like this image that they have, like, oh well, I'm holding a microphone, I gotta be like this. I would say like, no, screw all that. Like, do your work. Know what you want to talk about and know how to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then just sort of find your voice without trying to sound like anybody else. And there's like things you can take from other people. Like, I want to maybe like carry myself like this or dress like that. But at the end of the day, one thing that's been my saving grace and anything I've done is that they've told me like, oh, you're different. Like, you just kind of like don't, you're not cookie cutter. And I feel like for me, that's helping me. So that's the best advice I could be is be you. Yeah. Be you and showcase it, because people can sense when you're putting on an act.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Is there like anchors that you emulate, you know what I mean? Or people that you grew, like, who do you look like to this day look at?
There's a Mexican anchor. His name is, or he was a host. His name was Abel Ramones. And then he was sort of, the way he did his thing was like not very stereotypical. Like in Mexico, they always want the dudes to look a certain way on TV and the women to dress a certain way. And he was
it seems set up. Yeah, it seems more like
about set up. Shout out to my women in media.
Say his name one more time.
Go through a lot.
Abel Ramones. And so growing up, it was him. And then here in the States, it's always been like, I love James Corden. I absolutely love James Corden. I love Jimmy Fallon, Conan.
Jimmy Fallon,
and even on a more serious note, you look at people that are even like on CNN and Fox News. Some people are really just, they carry themselves well, and like there's a reason why Mario Lopez and Ryan Seacrest get paid to be hosts, you know, and get paid so well. It's because they're absolutely great at what they do. You feel you connect with them. So yeah, I would say it's a combination of everyone I've ever seen that is truly them, you know? And I feel good guys like that are really good at just being that. Yeah. Not necessarily the best looking, not necessarily the tallest or
Like, do you like watch him and then you're like, oh, yeah. Ooh, that, you know, does anything like catch your eye? Like, oh, I can do that.
A lot of things catch my eye, but I'll never study them because you want to just be you and be yourself. But I notice a certain way, you know, I admire. And if I'm entertained, that's just what I look at. Like, I'm entertained and I see them talking and they're cool. I'll notice maybe like, okay, I noticed that they weren't turning around every 2 seconds to their host or whatever. Yeah. So little things like that, you just notice naturally. But I don't sit there with a pen and a pad because that won't help me. I do that more when I do some very serious gigs. Like, I go watch some of my ESPN colleagues before I do a big live event. Mm-hmm. And I'll see sort of how they handle, you know, their IFB broke and their producer can't talk to them in their ear and they're live on TV. Like, how do you react to that? How do you handle that? So I've done a lot of that because there's so many, like, unpredictable things that can happen while you're shooting something live, and that's more where I focus on. Like, what did my colleague do the last time the teleprompter broke? Oh, she knew her shit and didn't need the teleprompter. It was just more there for timing. Right. You know what I'm saying? Learn a lot from the people you work with. So I do a lot of that.
Is there ever been like a scenario like the teleprompter breaking? Oh, yeah. When you were live?
A lot of times. But I've never, ever needed a teleprompter. I use it because you have to be on time. Mm-hmm. So when I can use it and we're live, I'll use it because I'll write out what I say. And then I know for sure that it's written out and it's timed and we won't go past where we got to be at. Okay. But yeah, my IFB's broken. The teleprompter's broken. The camera shut down. The hardest one is when your IFB breaks because you have a producer in your ear telling you what you got to do next, you know, and when you got to cut the break.
Yeah.
And when you got to do. So you, if you don't got that, you're just your bird box challenge. You know what I mean?
Let's go.
Hoping
home
you do the wrong thing.
Nice. Well, no. I'm sorry, guys.
I don't believe you, Edison. That wasn't nice.
That was terrible. God
damn. You know, I kind of had a feeling like everybody else was going to talk, so I was kind of like that was going to be like the ad lib of the song. Nice. No, but everybody stopped, and I'm like, nice. Yeah. No. But I was going to compare it to because like normally when I'm listening after the show, when I listen to like people that I was listening to before, I listen to them differently. You know what I mean? Like when they ask a certain question and it makes the artist talk more about something that they didn't really want to talk about it. I'm like, oh shit, how did he ask that? You know what I mean? How did he make him like get deeper into like something? You know what I mean? So I was kind of just trying to see if
absolutely, man,
you do those type of comparisons.
No, you're right. There's a course that they make us take. Sorry. There's a course that they make us take at ESPN where they teach you how to ask a question. They teach you
training.
Yeah, there is that. They do take pride. They require us to go to sessions, and you sort of, you know, you're taught because it's like the last thing you want to ask Serena Williams after she won like her 700th Grand Slam is, how do you feel?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the last thing you want to do. Right. So, and because we're so excited to be there, sometimes that's literally the first question you want to ask. So there are things that you have to make sure that will set you apart from the person who's studying at at a local school. Like, that's stuff that you do initially, and then you just got to find another way to ask it. So yeah, and a lot of people I have studied for the same reasons you have. Like, how do they ask a question? Oh, that was cool. Why did she start crying right there? You know,
exactly. Yeah, because even when we went to Queens Hip Hop, when Funk Flex came out, that looked
very dope, by the way.
Oh, thank
it
you.
Did. Yeah. It did, yeah. Yo. That's that. I know you put that together. That shit was fire.
Hey, it's teamwork. That shit was fire. Teamwork. But Jasmine did put together all the correct wordings for the whole application. Because between the stuff I was writing is just kind of like information. You know, like here. Yeah. And then Jasmine, she's like, all right, well, you need to put these in sentences. Yeah. She puts together the proper way to send emails. But regardless, when Funk Flex came out, that's when I was like, starstruck, you know, a little bit, because it kind of came out of nowhere, and that's someone that I listened to for like the, you know, all right, how does he ask some questions?
Yeah,
and then I was like, oh shit, all right, this kind of happened like really fucking fast, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
So I tried to, thankfully, like before I was like, all right, what should I ask him? I want to ask him something that'll give my, you know, who listens to me and what will give them value. So I try to ask him stuff about SoundCloud rappers and what people should do, like whatever. But there was another show that was interviewing him. And I heard what they were listening to, and it was just what they were asking, and it was just very simple, basic questions that anybody could ask them at any moment, you know. And I'm like, I'm glad we didn't do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm glad we didn't ask him.
Shout out to you, real quick. We have to give it to our host because he literally holds it down. I have to say,
I have no doubt, man.
He literally, if it wasn't for his little extra shit that he does and everything, the Queen of Critics would not be able to be the Queen of Critics.
Bravo! So, bravo!
We gotta do a third popper. Yes.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. He did that for himself. That's not even in the budget. That's for himself.
Yeah, that's just damn. We ran out of poppers, legit. Like, no, we really did. This is emergency for this week.
I really did blow the budget this episode.
Fuck. But all right. Any final statements by anybody in the crew before we close it out?
I just want to say, like, shout out to you too. Yeah, shout out to you because you're doing a lot of big things even before ESPN, doing three Emmys. You know. And making a way for the community and stuff like that, and focusing, and it's not as like just being a homosexual, like, oh, I'm coming out, I'm homosexual. Nah, it's like, no, listen, focus on my, yes, I'm homosexual, but like, focus on my dope shit, it has nothing to do with my career at all. It didn't give me any
boost. There is people that definitely use it as a plus for their career.
And that, and that's my point, and that's why I like you, because a lot of people use it for to their advantage and literally try to be like, oh great, now I'll just have LGBT ABCD. No offense to them.
LGBTQA.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Shout out to y'all, though.
But, you know, there's a T in there somewhere.
Yeah, plus.
There's a plus.
Yeah, there's a plus at the end now? Yes.
Yeah. There's a plus at the
end. What
the plus
mean?
Et cetera, et cetera. Shout out to Split. Y'all got to see Mr. Glass.
I know.
But anyway, what I want to say, though, is that that takes a lot, too, because a lot of people are really gunning for and be like, oh, you know, I'm just going to be a proud speaker for the LGBT community. And it's like, no, you don't have to be. How about you just be a speaker for yourself and do great things, and let's deal with you first? Like, because your family is trying to make somebody. So just be somebody for them.
You're right.
You know,
first, and at the same token, like, just because I have picked this approach, like, major love to everyone who's not using it as leverage, but who speak out for it because they realize the difference they could make. They're all absolutely brave.
For sure.
They're all absolutely just, like, on a different plane than the rest of a lot of people who would be terrified to let the world know that they are not the status quo. So shout out to all of those who do that, not for political or popularity gains, but for the change that it can affect into society.
For like real seriousness and real love and the whole push and respect and the bullies.
Absolutely.
And all
just
that.
Like, yo, we're all equal. Everybody's just trying to survive. Everybody's trying to be happy. Yeah. Everybody's trying to love and be loved. And that should be good enough, you know? Like,
and for the little boy that's hanging out there, you don't always have to just showcase and be like, I'm gay. You know, you can be you. Or girl, you could be yourself.
Now it's cool to be whatever.
Rock that wig. Wear the suspenders. Whatever the hell they want to do.
I got you back. See, I got you back.
I didn't even hear what she said.
She said you're a plus sometimes or something like that.
What the fuck is a plus? I've been asking
that
for a while.
I don't know. She said something
like that. It's a good thing. Whatever it is a good thing.
Whatever it is, we're open to it and accepting it.
Whatever it is, we're all accepting.
We love you.
Whatever it is, it's your fucking problem, bro. Not mine. That's the best way I can put it. You got this.
Y'all funny. Fuck y'all.
All right, everybody. Don't forget to write us 5 stars on all platforms, especially on iTunes. Comment, rate, say, hey, this was amazing. And then
you can say a little bit more
than
amazing.
Fuck with us, man. Yeah. Give us those stars. Give us those comments.
Yeah, shout out to Australia. Shout out to Australia.
Yeah, Australia's
top 100
on
in
our,
Australia.
Shout
out to Albania.
Yo, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Albania as well.
Albania.
Hell yeah.
So shout out to those two countries.
Top 100 in Australia, right?
Yes. And then shout out to Japan also. We haven't given you shout out, but we have a good percentage in Japan.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
They've been rocking with us from the beginning.
From the beginning, yeah. It was like 10% at the beginning.
So wait, do y'all actually go around and like, I don't know, if y'all are single, but like pick up a girl and be like, yeah, I'm big in Japan. Like, yeah.
That'd be a hard ass bar.
You know what I mean?
Edison, because
y'all literally are.
Listen, I'll stand behind Derek and be like, yes, he is. Yes, he unless he fucking
is. He'll even brush his hair back. You should see him in Japan.
I'm like in the background, like cheering him out. Oh, you don't want to see him in Japan. You wouldn't even talk to him. He wouldn't even talk to you. All right.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming out, bro.
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot for coming out, man. First of all, we forgot to ask you how you got that blue check mark, bro. We need that trick.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a trick. Oh, it's not a finagle.
Hold up.
I gotta give him some.
What does that mean? What did you have a little insignia on there.
Oh yeah,
on the so right. what is that
so
what do we got going on there?
I got here and y'all served me a drink, and then I thought of tequila, which naturally made me think like, hey, I'm from Jalisco, the land of tequila. That's where we make tequila. We also have mariachis. We're the land of mariachis. Literally, that's where mariachis are from Guadalajara. So then you told me to put some of myself, and the first thing that I thought of was to put I tried to write it in there, a little mariachi grito for y'all. I'm pretty sure nobody's done that on the podcast yet.
We're gonna take a picture with that with our brand new camera that we just figured out.
Yo, that thing's been off this whole time.
It's there for show.
It's a prop. It's a prop. It's just a prop.
Look at these
got
microphones
in Chinatown.
Prop. All right, everybody. 5 stars.
Thank you.
Yes, 5 stars.
We didn't do the what?
We didn't do what?
Keep going.
No, we'll do the drops after. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Thank you for tuning in to the Questionable Behavior Podcast.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Fuck boy, we ain't the same. You were fucking lame. I'm just trying to up my chain, maintain my brain. My flow is hot, blue like that light. I spit that cotton cane. Heroin up in the game. They say my name in vain. This my trap, homie. Peep this how I serve my fame. I'm a square with some jewels. Call me Billy Jane. You know it light up with the squares. Call me Billy Jane. Double M, trouble man. What the fuck is up? Middle finger tuck. Only when the M is up. Middle finger tuck. Only when the M is up. AC Green on the scene. We don't give a fuck. You always say I'm tripping, but breaks with me won't last forever. Get it together. Oh, we don't give a fuck. It's time to get it right or I'll find someone who treats you better. I said we was getting dug out. We was getting paid. Said I'm riding with my brother. Nigga, we was making. All my nigga had to fall out. Nigga, he ain't blank. I said my nigga had to fall out. Nigga, he ain't blank. Shit, it go like. Yeah. Every time we had that. Blah, blah, blah. Niggas better get down. Nigga got that what up. I said, baby, where your kids at? Grandmama, huh? I said, baby, where your kids at? Grandmama, huh? Always asking where her kids at? Grandmama, huh? Stilly, where you left your kids at? All up in her mouth. Peace, Lord, let me do my thing. Coolin' the gang, but now we don't move the same. Wrist spin around more cabbage, nigga, than romaine. Niggas can't ball around here, niggas is broken. Superman, them hoes, I just flyin' her lowest lane. All my niggas stunt together, I guess we fly the same. Bunch of niggas up in the sky, you know, like Bruce Wayne. Fat nigga with jewels, city boy with 2 chains. No killers that grip heat, nigga like Liu Kang. Each and every summer with jeans, colors like moon rain. Pocket got more knots than shoestrings, we do things. Concrete dinners for the chinchillas. If not the nicest, then still the illest. Then we the realest. Killers, grab the Phillips, get the drumming, dumping. Oh, what you talking about? Well, it's time cruising through the hood without the risky business. You always say I'm tripping, but breaks with me won't last forever. No kisses, oh, we don't give a fuck. It's time to hear you better. I'm still chilling with my niggas. Let's come check. I said we was getting dug out. We was getting paid. Said I'm riding with my brother. Nigga, we was making. All my nigga had to fall out. Nigga, he ain't blank. I said my nigga had to fall out. Nigga, he ain't blank. Shit, it go like. Every time we had that. Blah, blah, blah. Niggas better get down. Nigga got that, what up? I said, baby, where your kids at? Grandmama. I said, baby, where your kids at? Grandmama. Always ask her where her kids at? Grandmama. Stilly, where you left your kids at?